Thank you for joining me today. Today is Thursday, May 16th, and here's a friendly reminder. May is the month for mail. Of course, you can write to me anytime, but specifically in the next 16 days, I'll send you a gift if you send me either an email or letter. The email address is mark@markaswallow.com. I'll spell that for you to make sure you use the letter K and A. Here's how I mean that. M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com. I spell my name with a K, and in the second half of the email address, do not forget to add the A. M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com. And the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Winchester is spelled W-I-N-C-H-E-S-T-E-R. God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And my suggested outline for your correspondence is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? Is it W-E-Z-E, W-R-O-L, K-D-I-A, and or the God Is podcast? 3, tell me why you listen. What does God Is mean to you? And 4, include any comments about the program or questions you might have. If you do not have any, still write, just do 1, 2, 3. I hope this is clear to you, and yes, it is important that I hear from you soon. Do not underestimate what this will mean to me. And I stand by ready to get this gift right off to you, a gift certificate to the Banner of Truth website. You'll be able to spend this the way you want to. That's why I chose a gift certificate rather than a specific offer, because I want to make certain that you get something that will benefit your specific needs or taste. Who doesn't love a free gift? So write to me today and get it. Do not delay. Send your note. And I thank you in advance for doing so. Now let's go back to our outline in Luke 2, verses 39 to 52. At this point in the week, our big insight is this. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. And then I have said Jesus demonstrates this for us in four ways. The first one was he honored his parents, and the second one is he lived with his parents. And then under that insight, we're working on a smaller insight. Jesus teaches us how to be godly parents. And I see five ways he does this in Luke 2, verses 39 through 52. We talked about the first one yesterday. First, the presence of Jesus in their home draws Joseph and Mary into exacting obedience to God. And today we move on to the second one. Here it is. Second, the presence of Jesus in the temple draws Joseph and Mary to the lesson that parents should always encourage their children to ask good questions and then listen for the answers. Let me show you what I mean in the Bible, if you'll hear now the Word of God. This is His Word to your mind and heart in Luke 2, verses 45 to 46. I believe you know the overall passage well enough that we can jump in with these verses today. Luke 2, verse 45. When they did not find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Notice what the 12-year-old Jesus was doing when his parents rushed back to Jerusalem and found him in the temple. Luke says he was with the teachers, that is, the Jewish teachers who were really outstanding thinkers that came from all around Israel to Jerusalem also for the Passover. Jesus takes advantage of them gathering in the city and joins them. The format was a discussion and the method was dialogue. And what would the topic have been? Well, it was the Word of God, the Scriptures, that is our Old Testament. The boy Christ has a burning desire to reflect on the law and the prophets and use this time to respectfully probe the teachers. And by the way, this must be said. It is only here in all four Gospels that Jesus is the student. After this, he is presented always as the teacher. Did you hear me? The teacher. Nobody has taught or will ever teach like Jesus. And then the role is completely reversed. Jesus asks all the questions, and the Jewish teachers couldn't find the right answers. But here in Luke 2, Jesus was both listening to them and asking them questions. And I am coming to some application of this insight in a moment, but I do not want you to miss verse 47 while we are in the Bible. Luke 2, verse 47 reads, "And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." Don't you just love that? I sure do. What a precious gem this sentence is in all of the scripture. Ah, Jesus, forever our master teacher. In his Q&A, the 12-year-old Jesus was full of wisdom such that he absolutely amazed his elders. They're blown away. What teenager would have the profound understanding the Lord had? What would it have been like to be in the temple that day watching this? May we please have an instant replay of this in heaven one day, O God. I submit to you, dear parents, that to parent God's way means that you push your sons and daughters to do what Jesus did. Let him serve as their model. Of course, the key here will be to find good teachers. Now, in the schools, you aren't going to have much choice, right? For most of you, your child goes off to be educated each day in either a public or private institution where the teacher assigned is who you have to live with. Like in all professions, sometimes you have a competent professional and sometimes an incompetent professional. But in terms of instructing your babies in the way of Christ, you do have a choice. And this begins by choosing yourself. The Bible teaches that you, Dad, and you, Mom, are of first importance in nurturing faith in your own children. This is not the primary responsibility of the church. It's your God-given responsibility. And my point is that as you lead, as you guide your own beloved, invite them to ask you questions and then, of course, to be attentive to you as you answer. And then, as your kids grow, and particularly when they advance into the teenage experience, do what you can to set them up in a mentoring relationship with a mature Christian man or woman who is not you. Trust me, your teen is going to stop asking you good questions and listening to your answers simply because, well, you are the parent. And there is something about ages 12 and following that makes you less and less relevant to them. However, teens are not typically resistant to teachers such as an uncle or aunt, an older person in the church they respect, a youth pastor, a sports coach who serves God. And these are just examples. Another example would be someone who follows Christ who is a professional themselves in a field that interests your young person. So say, business. If you've got a teen who wants to be a successful business person when they finish school, then set them up with a trusted Christian businessman or businesswoman. Or maybe it's a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, a public servant, a mechanic, an engineer, an athlete, a chef, or a missionary. And what you want to do is to allow the nurturing of that relationship in your child's life. So identify such a mentor. One who is trusted, one who invites questions, really hard, difficult to answer, good questions, and is willing to spend time with your sons and daughters over food with some fun, answering, wrestling with, and sometimes saying, "I do not know the answer, but I'm willing to discover answers with you." I've done a little of this with young people, and I found it really helped them and their parents. Young persons ask great questions about faith, the Bible, Christian experience, and about God himself. What they then need are adults who will listen to them, not prejudge them, and work through some answers as they listen and learn. And you ought to encourage this in your kids at all ages. And let me just make sure I'm crystal clear about this. Make sure the teachers, the mentors in the context in which I speak are mature persons who are also trustworthy. Make wise choices. Protect your kids. Unfortunately and tragically, we live in a time in which our families are under attack from people that presented themselves as dependable, honorable and upright, but who were not. So be discerning. But again, realize this. Your children require spiritual teachers who are not only you. But what you want to model and impress on them is that asking good questions and then actually taking time to listen to the answers is very Christ-like. Okay, I think you got it, and I am moving on. And up next for us is this lesson. Third, the presence of Jesus in the temple draws Joseph and Mary to understand that they were never to keep their children from the house of God. We're going to discuss this at the start tomorrow, but to prepare us for that, let me show you where I see this in the biblical text. I'm reading again in Luke chapter 2 at verse 48. This was when Joseph and Mary had located Jesus in the temple and found him sitting amidst the teachers. Luke 2 verse 48 and 49 read, "When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And Jesus said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?'" It's obvious why Mary would be anxious, and in her alarm with Jesus, she adds that "your father," by which she means Joseph, was also worried. If you would ever lose your child for even seconds, let alone days, wouldn't you be a wreck? I grant you that the context of the culture and time and history are different, but any responsible mother and father will go out of their minds searching for a lost boy or girl. But Jesus' answer is less obvious to us. What does he mean by what he says? Up front, I'll tell you this, he means it is good for him to be where he was, in God's house, the temple. And be with me for more on that tomorrow. In the meantime, apply what has been said and write to me your name, how you listen, what this ministry means to you, and any questions or comments. Email or mail it. Thank you. And God is, and we will meet him here again tomorrow.